Southampton's Voice.
Voice FM.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM. From startups to established companies, I'll be bringing you a variety of guests from Southampton's business community. Today's show is all about the business of beauty, raw determination and never giving up. And I'm joined in the studio by the fabulous Hannah Lewis, who is the owner of beauty salon Bridge Beauty in Chandler's Ford. Hannah, welcome to the studio.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. I can't believe I'm actually here.
Oh, it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit surreal.
You quite like that song as well that was just on.
Yes, yes. We did actually see MK this year in Ibiza. I never say the nightclub name right. I think it's Ushuaia. But yeah, we saw him live. He was warming up for Calvin Harris. So
brilliant.
That was pretty cool. Yeah.
Very, very good. So Hannah, today's show then is all about, it's all about your story. And I want to start by saying that I visited Bridge Beauty a couple of weeks ago, met Hannah, an amazing team. And I have to say, I was completely blown away. What an amazing salon. It's such a cool space, mm-hmm. really, really relaxing, which I guess is what you want.
Yeah.
And what you've achieved, to be honest, is nothing short of incredible. And it's a brilliant example of just what raw determination can achieve. So, you know, take us back to the very, very beginning. Where did it all start?
Well, it started, we're just about to celebrate our 15th year. So it started.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It started back in 2008. I was married back then and I was married to a builder and we were doing property development. As a business, we bought a piece of land and it happened to have a shop on it. We didn't really think much of this. We just bought the land. We wanted to develop it. But long story short on that bit, basically, we kept getting rejected for planning permission, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
I was actually, I'd come away from beauty to be a full-time mum and a nanny to my daughter's cousins. So basically, as all good business ideas started, it was just a drunken conversation in the pub. I decided I wanted to get back into beauty. I just had that light bulb moment of I need to go back to what I loved doing, which was beauty.
Brilliant.
So chatting to a friend at the bar after several white wines, I'm sure, I said to him, I said, you know, I really want to get back into beauty. And he was like, Hannah, you own a shop. I was like, oh, I own a shop. I completely just didn't even think it was something that I could do. So I went back to my then husband and the gang and sort of said, you know, look, is this something we could do? Could we set up a salon? And they were like, yeah, let's do it. So we had like a brainstorming about what the name could be and how we'd go about it. And that was how it started. And it was literally, I didn't have one single client. I'd been out of the beauty game for a good few years, having the children. And like I said, being a nanny. So I literally started with nothing.
Amazing. Of course, yeah, like what most business ideas start with, you know, a drunken conversation down
in the pub.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
So you went for it.
I went for it. Yeah. So literally we did it up. Obviously they were builders, which was very handy. So they helped me, which I'm very grateful for still to this day. And that is when Bridge Beauty was born. We decided on the name because it literally was situated in between two bridges. So we toyed around with loads of ideas of beauty on the bridge, beauty at the bridge. But then Bridge Beauty just sat and I fell in love with it.
Oh, I love that. I love the name.
Yeah. And it's been quite apt throughout the story as well, where Bridge Beauty has been on its journey. So yeah, that's where it literally started. No clients. I opened the doors and just hoped for the best, really. And it was really quite brave. And at the time we were in a recession. And my late father's friend said to him, I think my dad was talking to him, and he said, if she can make it through a recession, she can make it through anything. Mm. And I almost want to have that saying tattooed on me somewhere because I will never forget. I can't even remember who he was. I can't remember who my dad's friend was who said that. But it stayed with me throughout every hard moment in the business. That has stayed with me. So that's been, you know, that has been inspiring along the way. So I stayed there and established a small but sustainable little beauty salon. It was just me on my own. And then marriage went into difficulties and, you know, I had to leave that premises during the divorce.
Sure.
And I went mobile because I thought, I'm not going to give up my business. I've worked hard. It's, you know, it's been about, I think that by that point, it'd been about a year of business. So I took all my belongings, put it at home, then put the essentials in the car and went round, which was great because I actually got to know my clients really well. I got to know them, their family, their husbands. You know, I'd have like cats and dogs and rabbits around my feet as I was doing waxing on them. So that was quite entertaining. But I really felt I needed a premises. I wanted to get that professionalism back to my business because whilst mobile has its place, it's, you know, it wasn't what I wanted to do. So I found a room for rent in Academy Studios that was opening up in Romsey at the time, and they needed a beauty salon. So I managed to bag that, which was fantastic. Set that place up. It didn't need a lot of doing to it because it had all been newly kitted out. So I just needed to put my stuff in it. So that was fairly easy. I was there for about a year. The business continued to grow and I did actually get more clients at that point, and my name was getting a bit more established in Romsey.
Was that kind of word of mouth? Yeah, the classic word of mouth advertising.
It was really back then. I had a very basic website that my friend's husband very kindly built for me. But it really was. And I think back then, that was the early days of Facebook. And I think I started to use, I mean, I never touched on Instagram back then, but I started on Facebook a little bit, I think, advertising. And obviously people come into the Zumba classes and things, they would see there was a beauty salon, which was great. But then the Zumba classes became the problem because they were so noisy. And obviously when you're doing a massage, you want it relaxing and quiet and peaceful. So after about a year there, I did leave again and went mobile, and again went back to all my clients' houses, and they were like, wow, Hannah.
Bit of a 360.
It was, and it was hard work. Hats off to anyone that does mobile, because it really is hard work lugging all that things around. It hurt my back and it was just too tiring.
Sure.
So the hunt was on to find Bridge Beauty its next home. But the budget was definitely in question. I couldn't afford Centre of Romsey prices. So my mum just phoned me one day and said, Hannah, I found this property. It's not in Romsey. It's in Chandlersford. I hadn't even really been to Chandlersford, to be honest, much in my life. And she said, oh, it's right on a nasty bend and there's no parking. I said, oh, it's looking great so far.
I think people know where this is going.
So, oh my goodness, we arranged a viewing, and in true style, my mum and dad joined me with me for the viewing, and I walked in and the first thing that hit me was the stench of mould, of dampness, of... It had been like shut up for 3 years, and there was a lot of leaks, and it was honestly, the carpets were blue, the walls were dark yellow, the ceiling was even darker yellow, very 80s theme there of the yellow and blue. And it was an absolute mess, really, and it needed so much work. And I looked around it and I looked up, and I just remember looking up, and they're really high ceilings and a picture rail. I was like, oh, I love this. I love this. And I could see my mum and dad's face, and it was the look of horror. And I was like, okay. I was looking around thinking, can I? And bearing in mind, this was just me back then. I had no staff. I was just me. And it was a fairly big salon, that salon. I mean, not compared to what we're on now, but, you know, it was at the time for me. So
you took it on, didn't you?
I took it on. The estate agent said to me, so what do you think? And I went, yeah, I'll take it. And my mum and dad's face were like, no, how are you going to do this, Hannah? And I was like, watch me.
this is really the theme that I think runs through. It's about that determination, never giving up.
Oh my goodness, it's insane.
But this is the hard thing, isn't it? It's the hard thing, just making that first step. And so you did that, and from what you told me before, it was a lot of hard work in terms of renovating that and getting it up to scratch.
Yeah, it was. And the girls, my children, the girls were quite little back then. So it was very much a case of they were at school during the day. I was working, doing my mobile work. I'd come home, maybe see them for dinner. And then I'd be like, mum and dad would look after them. And I'd be back to the salon. I learned how to plane doors off. I mean, I'd never done that in my life, but I couldn't afford a chippy. So I learned how to use, I started off with a hand one. And then I worked my way up to an electric one, which was petrifying, but I did it. Learned how to hang doors. I just did it. You know, it was hard work, but it's what made me love Bridge Beauty even more, because literally blood, sweat and tears went into renovating that first proper salon. That's what I class as my first proper salon. I think the other two were like the preludes to it almost, but you know, that one was really my first proper salon that I felt I'd really given my all to.
And it was, you're investing more than just money. It's time, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness.
And how proud did you feel? You sort of look back and went, wow.
Massively. Yeah. It was such a leap of faith. It was crazy. And I just think back. I mean, I was young and I was fearless. I still am fearless, I think. But it was crazy when I look back at it. But I'm so proud of what I did. And I've got some amazing pictures of Emily and Sarah, my children, when they were quite little back then, you know, helping me rip up the carpet, helping me, you know, clean things down and paint and decorate. And it really was a family affair. Friends came and helped. You know, it was so wholesome, really. Looking back at the time, it was just a huge struggle and a stress and a huge burden on my shoulder as a single mum to delve into it with nothing behind me, no savings, no backup. I just literally did it. Yeah. And hoped.
Yeah. And like you say, you know, juggling everything, just, you know, juggling being a mum and obviously doing the renovation, of course, then doing the mobile stuff during the day. So it's kind of mobile beautician by day, builder by night.
Yeah.
Mum everywhere in between.
Yeah, literally trying to juggle it all and still get to those, you know, assemblies and still get to ballet lessons. And, you know, it was just full on, but worth it.
Absolutely. Yeah. In part, so before we jump to the next salon, let's just quickly fast forward to today.
Mm-hmm.
So Bridge Beauty is in Chelmsford.
Yeah.
What kind of treatments do you guys do?
So we do everything from manicures, pedicures, waxing, tanning, threading. We do Nimu facials, chemical peels. We do massage, Reiki, Indian head. We have such a broad selection of treatments, and it's all done really bespoke to you. So, you know, I'll never forget, I once asked someone how they wanted their eyebrows when they came in for an eyebrow shape. She looked at me and said, "No one's ever asked me that." And I thought, but how one person wants their eyebrows to how another person wants them. How can you not ask that question? So we're really about treating the person and making sure that just because it says it's a back, neck and shoulders, half an hour massage, you know, if you've got a bit of a headache, we could just do a bit of massage on your head as well. You know, we can mix it up and make it work for you. So I think we cover a broad selection, but we're also super flexible within that as well.
Yeah, I must admit, when I sort of stepped through the door, it was this sort of immense sense of calm.
Yeah, it's not always. Visit us at Christmas. Christmas or in summer holiday period. It's, yeah, it's quite buzzing. Upstairs is calm, though. Upstairs is always calm. That's where we keep the relaxation treatments.
Okay, so that's sort of the massage. And
Yeah. And even our pedicure area is a calm area with, like, spa music, dark lighting. We just work with a spotlight on the foot. So we keep everything calm and relaxed and peaceful upstairs. Downstairs is a bit more buzzy. You know, if you're just popping in for an eyebrow thread, you're going to be in the downstairs room probably, and it's a bit more, you know, the radio's on and chit-chatting and things like that.
What is it about the beauty industry that you love?
Oh, people. I mean, I love doing the treatments, don't get me wrong, but it's the people. It's making someone feel better. There's two parts to my job. I'm a beauty therapist, but I very much go on therapist. So when someone walks through the door, they might just be coming in for a half leg wax, but they're coming in for a lot more, really. They need a chat. They need someone to have a shoulder to cry on, to make them feel better and to make them feel happy. And that's what I love about my job the most, is the people and making them feel good.
Oh, it's absolutely brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's very much a family business, isn't it?
Yes, it is, because both my daughters now work with me, which I am hugely proud of. I can't believe it. Like, to hear people, even today in the salon, someone said, "Oh, so it's a family business." My heart just was like, yes, it is a family business. And that makes me so proud, because me and the girls have got a really tight-knit relationship. Having brought them up predominantly on my own, you know, it's been a journey for us as a three. And to see them come into all that hard work, and, you know, I did the legwork in the early days whilst they were little. And now they're really reaping the benefits in more ways than one, because now they've both got a job from it as well, and hopefully a lifelong career, and maybe one day take it over.
Oh, absolutely. Well, look, hold that thought, because we're going to take a really short break, and then when we're going to come back, we're going to delve into a bit more of your journey, because I think it's absolutely incredible and it's inspirational. And yeah, I can't agree more. You know, having met the girls and the team, you know, absolute gems. What an amazing place that you guys have got going. So anyway, stay with us and join us again for part two very soon.
Voice FM.
You name it, we'll collect it.
So a bed?
Yep.
A sofa?
Yep.
All right, what about a shed?
Yes.
So anything?
Everything non-hazardous.
Hi there, I'm Steve.
And I'm Woody.
And we're the co-founders of Ethiclear.
We collect waste and clear houses.
And we do it ethically.
Because if your waste is good enough to be used again,
we'll make sure it is.
As Ethiclear has a network of like-minded people around Southampton.
So for anything
of almost any size
that you can't shift,
book your clearance at ethiclear.co.uk.
So I got a home office in the garden, and in the spring and the autumn it's perfect. But in the middle of winter and summer, it's not fun. The heater costs a fortune when it's cold outside, and in the summer, opening the windows just isn't enough. Which is why I got Just Coolers to install a small air conditioning unit. It keeps me cool in the summer and warm in the winter. It's the most cost-effective way of doing it. And with a 5-year guarantee and prices from £799, what's not to like? For your free quote, just visit just-coolers.com and keep your home office just right.
Voice FM.
You're listening to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM, and I am joined in the studio by a force to be reckoned with, Hannah Lewis from Bridge Beauty in Chalmersford. Hannah, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Did you want to shout out anybody?
Oh, well, I have to shout out my amazing team, all the girls at Bridge Beauty. They are all amazing. I love you all. You're fantastic. And yeah, I couldn't ask for a better team.
Oh, brilliant. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Aren't they? So. We left off on part one and we were talking about 5 Hursley Road. It was a complete dive and you were like, this is the place for me.
Yeah.
Did it up. So what happened next after you opened the doors, I suppose?
Yeah. So it was a real slow opening. Couldn't even afford a sign above the door. So literally I had a blank space above the door. I had a hanging sign saying now open in the shop window. So it was a very slow
shoestring
burner.
Shoestring budget.
Yeah, it
less,
really
less
was.
Less than a shoestring.
Yeah, it really was. At the time, still being a single mum, I was on full benefits at the time. The business was not making any money. You know, the outgoings, I'd obviously just massively upped my outgoings. The income hadn't increased at that stage. So it was a pretty disastrous position to be in, really, looking back on it. But the sheer determination kept me going. Just gradually got bigger and bigger, you know, very slowly, and got to the point where I could employ someone. I kind of had to make that leap. I had to do it. And I think that's we spoke about this before, didn't we? I mean, it's one of the scariest things you can do in business is to make that first leap to employ someone, because I can tell anyone that's listening, generally, you can never afford that first person. You've never got enough money. You know, it's a bit like in your family life. You can never afford to have a baby. You can never afford to move house. So you just have to do it and really hope and pray that it's going to work and put faith and hard work behind it. So I did. I employed a part-time therapist and we worked well together. And again, we increased the footfall in the salon, which was really good. And then I think I ended up with 2 part-time staff and myself. I was full-time. And so the business kept growing and we were going from strength to strength. I was kind of rebranding a little bit as I went myself with no real idea of what I was doing. I had no professional help behind that, but I was trying to tweak the salon and I changed the colour theme and decorated it again. And, you know, all very little things, but I was trying my best to bring the business to where it needed to be.
And were you trying to do it, when you were going through that rebrand process, were you trying to get it to something that if you saw a salon that looked like that, then that's where you would go?
Yeah, because one of the things I did was I did do a little bit of research before I even opened the original Bridge Beauty back in 2008. And I walked around to quite a few beauty salons. I felt very intimidated going into them. I felt very scared. The people behind the desk looked perfect. They looked, you know, just that image of perfection. And that's quite intimidating to the majority of women and men. I very much wanted it to be a homely, warm feeling, but I was trying to get a little bit of professionalism in there and try and make it a little less like a front lounge and a bit more like a beauty salon. But it was hard with no professional help behind me at that point. It was getting to the point of getting somewhere, really. I think
it's that thing though, isn't it, being a business owner, you kind of, definitely in the early days, you have to literally try your hand at everything.
Oh, everything. And I still do to a certain extent. I'm just really lucky and very fortunate and very grateful that I now have help behind me. I have amazing people behind me and I can always ask them questions and I'm learning from them and they're helping me grow as a business owner. But you have to have so many hats as a business owner, and that's what people don't see. You know, even when you've got an amazing accountant, like I've got an amazing accountant, I've still got paperwork to do. I've still got masses of book work to do, you know. So there's always things, and you're trying your hand at everything and you're trying to get it right. And you don't always get it right and you make mistakes along the way, but that's where you have to get up, brush yourself down and keep going, which is tiring, but well worth
said.
It.
Yeah, well said. So there was this pivotal moment where you actually managed to get off the benefits.
Yes. So I managed to get the profit of the business to a point that every year when I was reporting back to housing benefit and child benefit, that eventually, not child benefit, but the other one, whatever it was, child tax credits, I eventually got to the point where they said, right, actually, you're off of it now. And I was like, oh, wow. Proud moment, because I worked so hard to get there.
Almost like free flight.
Free flight. Scary. Yeah, the most scariest thing, actually. It was a really scary moment. So I was like super proud, like pop the Prosecco cork, I've done it. But now it's all on me.
No safety net.
There's no safety net. No one's going to help me pay my rent. No one's going to help me, you know, feed and clothe the children. This is all on me now. I've got to make this business work. All the hard work I've put in, there's no going back now. You just got to keep going. It was very scary, but in the time, I just didn't have a choice. So there wasn't a choice. Oh, shall I keep going? Shall I? I just kept going. So I was completely off the benefits, completely self-sufficient, which gave me even more drive. You know, it didn't make me sit back and go, I've done it. It was the point where I go, right, now I can really, really go for this. So that was that
that's
era.
What you did.
That's what I did.
But then, of course, like lots of other businesses, COVID.
Oh my goodness. Hit. Yeah. At the best and the worst time, really, for my business, because it was just as my business was, I think, taking off the ground. And it was really, like I said, I was off the benefit. I had, at the time, I had a member of staff who was actually off long-term poorly, but we'd really got a team. It felt really connected. And then when COVID hit, I was like, I've got nothing to fall back on. You're literally telling me. I was watching the news. We had the news on the radio, actually, in the salon. And they literally said, we're closing down these tiers and this was happening. And I literally thought, I've lost everything. I've got two premises I need to service. I've got my family home that needs rent, gas, electricity. And I've got my salon that needs rent, gas, electricity. And I've only got one income now. There's no benefits. There's no money in the bank. I was maxed out on my personal overdraft and I was maxed out on my business. And when I say maxed, I literally was maxed. There was no money. And I literally thought, how am I going to survive if you're taking away my only source of income and I've got to close my salon down? So I panicked, basically, closed the salon at the end of the day and did the shutdown. And I sat on the couch, the beauty bed in room one, and I phoned my landlord. And in floods of tears, I said, I'm done. I am done. I can't do this. I've fought so hard for so many years now, which is exhausting in its own right. And now, what do I do? I can't pay him his rent. I can't pay the gas, electricity. I can't pay my landlord at home, personal, you know, because it's a private landlord and et cetera. So I said, I'm done. I'm out. I'm breaking my contract. You know, if you want to take me to court, take me to court. So she sat there sobbing, you know, proper ugly crying. And he was amazing. He just said, no, Hannah, no, you're not quitting. You are not quitting. He said, there's going to be help. I don't know how he knew this, but he did. And he said, there's going to be help. And I thought, well, what help can there be? I don't get it. And so he just said, no, you're not leaving. He said, just stop. Basically hung up on me. And I was like, right, okay. And so then obviously the news, you know,
unfolded
and trundled out. And sure enough, there were grants, there were loans I could take. I was a sole trader back then. I wasn't a limited business. I'd been a sole trader for a long time. I had good books behind me by that point, because like I said, I got off the starting ladder. I was off the benefit. So the turnover, the profit was looking healthier. So my grants, etc., were healthier. So that's how I managed to keep the business
afloat
and pay all the bills. And I didn't, you know, I knew some people who had businesses that stopped direct debits, stopped paying for their card machine. And maybe I was foolish, maybe I wasn't, I don't know. You know, I kept paying the whole lot. I kept paying everything. I paid everyone. I paid every month's rent at home. I paid every month's rent in the salon. And I kept everything going. And then I think when the bounce back loans came, that's when I had excess money. I was able to, no one had ever loaned me money. I was always in the red. You know, no one had ever loaned me money. I did all this through hard work. So I made money, spent money, made money, spent money. That's how I grew the business. It was hard. And all of a sudden, the bank was offering me a bounce back loan at 2%. I was like, okay, I'd be a fool to not take this. Yeah. So I took it and I completely renovated the salon. I literally, I employed help. I employed, obviously we couldn't see anyone at that point, but I had Alice, my digital marketing media manager, and she basically redid my website. She rebranded me. She got my color scheme right. She picked out, cherry picked bits of what I had tried to achieve and streamlined it.
Pulled it together.
Yeah, and made it a brand. I suppose that's what I needed, was a brand. So, yeah, so during lockdown, I was so busy just literally renovating 5 Hursley Road to a different level now. So I was really up in my game. Redid everything, rebranded, lots of new products, and did a lot of online training as well. It was a good opportunity to stop because as a business owner, I was so busy, always constantly driving the business. I was never working on the business, I was in it. So it gave me a chance to breathe and do some online training and learn better business skills whilst not having to work, obviously due to lockdown.
What sort of training was it?
It was basically how to run a business. It was specifically for beauty salons. So I think it was called Boss My Salon. And it was about media. It was about doing videos. Like, I'd never done videos on social media. All of a sudden, I was going for walks in lockdown. I was doing little lives. I was like, oh, hi, it's Hannah from Fridge Beauty again. I like became this little like internet star on Facebook. Do you know what I mean? It was like, everyone loved my lives. And that was something that I learned off of this online learning, was to be present, keep your business going, be present, be there. So I became the person that showed people how to pluck their eyebrows in lockdown. You know, I did a tutorial of how to do it and, you know, how to cleanse your face and just tried to keep everyone's, you know, a bit more buoyed up, because it was a sad time. A lot of people were, you know, really struggling being locked away.
Yeah.
So I tried to keep everyone
really in touch with the community.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I learned how to work a little bit more on my business. And I can't remember, it was Ryan Power. I was doing his workshops and he said, you have to take the leap and step back out of your business. Stop being in it so much and have faith that it will run without you. And that then led me on to needing to find more staff, which wasn't easy in lockdown.
No. So what did you do?
It was basically word of mouth, good old word of mouth. And I had known of a therapist that worked elsewhere and I'd heard she was really good. Her foot massages are to die for. And basically, I contacted her because I heard that her salon had unfortunately closed down. It wasn't her personal salon, but where she was working had closed down. So I contacted her and did a long, weirdest interview ever, because we couldn't get close. It was when like the 2 meter rule was in.
Sure, yeah.
So we had to be in the salon with all the windows open. I couldn't shake her hand. I couldn't do anything. But I already knew her reputation preceded her. And, you know, I knew that I liked her and got on with her. And so that's when we took Tash on. And then shortly, wherever Tash goes, Homer comes. And then Homer joined the team as well. So weirdly, the business grew in lockdown, which I was at the beginning of lockdown. If you come back to that first conversation, I sat crying on the couch because I was going to give it all up. Come to the end of lockdown, I've just employed more people. You know, by this point, I had Lauren as well. She was working with me. I met Rosie during lockdown and she then came and worked for me. My business suddenly was like, what?
Yeah, it's just like full circle.
Like, what? How have we gone from crying on the couch, telling my landlord I'm quitting, to a full team of beauty therapists and a renovated salon, you know? And then obviously lockdown lifted and my youngest daughter at that point was training to be a beauty therapist. My other daughter was in between things, didn't really know what she was doing. And then we opened up, and we opened up with such a boom. I think people were just like, wow, Hannah, you've done so well. You've grown your team. And they got to know the team. They came in, and we'd done lots of Facebook things whilst we couldn't actually see people in person, like I said, and introduce the team. And then it just really took off, to be honest. Yeah. It flew, and it was amazing to open up and have people queuing at the door. You know, it was suddenly Bridge Beauty was on the map. And looking back, I almost don't know how it happened, because it is sometimes a bit of a blur, because it was such a crazy moment in our lives, both personally and professionally. So to have built the business in that time and really get it off the ground, I am really proud of that. And I could have sunk back and gone into depression. I could have been really sad for myself and thought, oh, boo-hoo me, my business is closed. But I decided to take a different take on it and take the time to grow my business and learn more about the business and, you know, employ some amazing staff.
Do you know what? No, and it's amazing, because you said, you know, you get to a point where actually you can't give up. If you give up, then all of that sacrifice...
Oh, it's just pointless.
Would have been for nothing.
Yeah. And that's what's kept me going. Every moment something goes wrong, because still things go wrong, you know, no business is out of the woods. You know, you get these moments where you think, why am I doing it all? But when I look back, all those years, all those sacrifices, not being with the girls, you know, I will always have that mum guilt, because I worked 50 odd hours a week as a beauty therapist in the business. You know, I will always have that guilt that I wasn't there. But that then guilt keeps me going, because I think if I gave up now just because I get a big bill, or, you know, something goes wrong, or you get a complaint, you know, you can't ever give up. All these little hurdles that come about, you can't ever just go, oh, that's it, I've had enough, because it makes everything you did all those years, you know, for me now, 15 years of all this hard work, it would be pointless. And how can you just throw all that hard work away because you reach a hurdle? So then you become more and more determined.
Absolutely. Well, I'm just sat here. I'm just like, oh, this. Yes. We're going to take a real short break again. But this isn't where the story ends, because we've got another chapter, mm-hmm. or a couple of chapters mm-hmm. to dive into. So listeners, if you're listening, stay with us. We've got part three coming up. I'm here with Hannah at Bridge Beauty. So yeah, don't go away.
Live and local, Voice FM.
Let's hear more from Ian at Station Motors.
I think it's important to have a family business. My customers relate to it. I've been doing cars for people, and now I'm doing their son's cars. My daughter works in reception, and my son's nearly a fully qualified accountant. He does my bookwork, both very good drivers. I used to walk to school past his garage. It was a petrol station back then, so I ended up buying the garage off that family, you know. So I like to think I've brought my family into that family business.
Station Motors Woolston by the Itchen Bridge.
This is the sound of exercise when it's made fun. It's called Visosport, and it started in Southampton. You meet up, you play fun games, you exercise, you laugh, you keep fit. It's for people of all abilities. Visit visosport.net or search for Visosport in Meetup and have fun getting fit.
Southampton's Voice FM.
You're listening to The Business on Southampton's Voice FM, and I'm here with the incredible Hannah Lewis from Bridge Beauty in Chalmersford. Hannah, how are you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you.
I'm loving this. I'm just kind of sitting back and listening to your story, because I just find it inspirational, I have to say. So we left off in part two. We were talking about you opening one of the previous salons, 5 Hursley mm-hmm. Road, and things were going really, really well, but you hit a ceiling point.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so when we came back from COVID, we were literally, like I said before, it was flying. I had the best team ever. We were really tight knit, working well together, expanding on treatments, etc. The branding was perfect. It was just brilliant. But it reached a ceiling point. I remember walking in one day on a Saturday. I wasn't working, and I walked in. The place was packed.
People
everywhere. There was someone on reception, on the like reception chair, like the wrong side of reception, waiting for their treatment. Yeah, because the whole place was packed. And I looked around. The staff, all the girls looked really flustered. They looked really hot. It was like the whole place was buzzing. I was like, whoa, I need a bigger salon. I need to expand. Like, what do I do? But that's scary. That's scary, right? You're like, you know, you just got to a place of security, and then you're thinking, oh, I could just get a little bit bigger here. So then I had to make the decision, do I get a second salon, which in all honesty had always been my kind of dream, was to own two. I mean, how cool would that be? So you own two salons. That's amazing. So I happened to find one in Chandlersford just up the road and thought, oh, this could work. We could have two salons and we could have one. My dream was to have one more like spa, like really quiet and calm, all the massage and the facial side of things. And then one more like a nail bar, you know, happening and just really like buzzy, you know. And then I found out the price of the rent on the other salon, and it was double what I pay now. So then can I afford three times my rent? No, probably not. So I kind of put it on the back burner and felt a bit, you know, a bit sort of, oh, okay, can't do that. Back to the drawing board. And then it just so happened, we were doing manicures, and I remember the day really well, and Tash happened to say to me, well, how about you don't get it as a second salon, but we move because it's bigger. How about we move from here and go bigger? I was like, oh, is it big enough? I'm not sure. Is it worth the step, the stress, you know, the legal fees? So I went and viewed it, went and had a look. And, I have a thing about finding salons that are in a bit of a state.
You can almost see through the decor.
Yeah, I literally walked around and I was like, okay. So I was totting it up in my head as I was going around thinking, this is going to be expensive. But I kind of thought it wasn't big enough, if I'm honest. I didn't think it was worth the money that I totted up in my head. I was thinking we're in the 20,000s here, you know, the first month's rent, the deposit, all the work they needed doing. I was like, you know, 20 odd grand is a lot of money. And is it worth it? So I kind of was quite negative when I first walked in, to be honest. I was a bit like, not sure. Went back to the girls at the salon. I was like, oh, I don't know. I just don't think it's big enough. I can't see where I want all the stations that I had in my head that I wanted, the extra manicure table, the extra pedicure station, the extra room. And so ideas usually come to me drunk in the pub as we started this interview,
or
doing a massage.
Love it.
I'm very well known for coming out of a massage and having had my best business ideas because I think I relax. So I was doing a massage on a client and it dawned on me I could transfer one of the rooms upstairs in the now Bridge Beauty into a relaxing pedicure room, giving me that extra space for the extra pedicure station and the extra manicure station. So on the phone to the estate agent, yep, I'll take it. I'm thinking, oh, okay, 20 odd grand. Do I have 20 grand? No, I don't. So we're back in the same situation as 5 Hursley Road. Here's Hannah with her big idea and no money to back it up, really. During this time, I had gone limited as well. And being a new business, trying to get a business loan was basically impossible.
Impossible, yeah.
Because although I kept saying to the bank, I've been trading for, you know, it was 14 years then. I've been trading 14 years. You can see how far I've come. You can see the profit and the turnover is going up and up and up. We've got a trend here. They're like, it doesn't matter. You turned limited like, I don't know, 4 months ago, 6 months ago. You're a new business. I was like, are you kidding me? So I've got this salon I want. I've got the dream I want. I've got the raw determination, but I didn't have the money. So
What did you do?
I basically, I borrowed off of the card machine. So it's a way that it's a tough way to borrow money, but it's a good way for businesses. If you're running your business for a card machine and the turnover is high enough on your card machine, they will lend you money. It's a short, sharp turnaround. You know, I had to pay it back in, I borrowed in total with the fees that come about £8,000, just under, it was £7,945. The rest of it I borrowed from friends and family and inputted myself from, you know, the little bit of savings I had. So basically, I had to pay that back in 6 months.
Yep.
They take it off the card machine. It's very painful. So it doesn't even hit your bank account. You don't even see it. It's an incredibly hard way to do it, but it was the only way I had to do it. So, I went for it. I tried to negotiate the rent. I tried to negotiate some rent-free time, et cetera, et cetera. There wasn't any budget.
There wasn't much room for negotiation.
No, there wasn't. But I see why, because they'd had a hard time with the previous tenant and they needed me in there. And I respected them and I got on well with them. We had a good rapport. So I think it was a mutual agreement. I just went for it. So,
but your competitive side kicked in though, didn't it? Because someone else was quite keen.
Yeah, someone else was a little bit interested. interested in the business, taking on that premises. And I was kind of like, no, I want it. I want it. I've set my heart on it now. And again, that raw determination, that raw passion, I went away. I did a huge business plan. I've never done a business plan in my life. And bearing in mind, we're 14 years into my business, nearly 15 years now. And I wrote this massive business plan. I got the template for it. We've spoke about them before, the Federation of Small Businesses. Mm-hmm. So the FSB, I got a template of how to do a business plan, because I didn't know. Who's taught me to be a business owner? No one. I've kind of just learned on my
own. From scratch. Yeah. Self-taught.
So, I did my business plan. I literally let it all out to them. I told them my plan. We had meetings, and Nikki, my landlady now, she kept saying, but how are you going to pay the rent? It's double, because they'd seen my books. I said, I'm going to work really hard. Trust me. And it then became a personal thing. Mm. And they did choose me to take on that lease. They knew my business situation. They knew my money situation. They're like, how are you going to borrow the money? I was like, I'm going to borrow it. I'm going to, you know, ask friends, ask family, you know, borrow from people who trust me and love me. And the card machine. Who love me. It was literally, it was my personality, I do believe, that got me where to get that lease, basically. So I worked alongside the solicitors, and we did all the business side of it, which was quite long going. It took about 2 months to get that lease done. It was very complicated. It was much more complicated than taking on 5 Hursley Road. I don't really know why, but it just was. So we got the lease through. But all the while that was going on, obviously I was doing the salon up, painting, decorating, much like 5 Hursley Road. It was a labour of love, and friends and family, you know, I can't thank my friend Mel and her husband Rich enough. They were absolute troopers. They literally helped me so much. My girls helped me, even the staff, even the Bridge Beauty girls came in, picked up a paintbrush. Lauren stepped in the paint one time, and
love it. And you had your official kind of opening not so long ago.
Yeah, that was
amazing.
How long
have you been at Chandler's Ford?
So this time in this salon, not long. So we opened in, I want to say June. Yeah, because the lease was signed on the 22nd of May. So we had our official opening in June. And in true Hannah style, that didn't go to plan.
What happened?
Well, I went to go to Costco to get the sandwiches in the morning. Didn't know you had to pre-order them. So a little tip for business owners out there, pre-order your sandwiches. So, yeah, I was supposed to be looking all glamorous on the day of the launch. And I was actually at home making millions of sandwiches from scratch. So, you know, again, a bit of determination there.
Yep.
But it was amazing. So many people came. We had people queuing outside. It was brilliant. It was, the day was just amazing. I couldn't thank the people who helped me organize it enough. And seeing all those people come through the door and just how happy they were to see us as a team. Because it's not just about me. It's about us as a team. It's not just, you know, it's not just about Hannah. Once we go into the salon, it's about Bridge Beauty, where it's come from, where it's going, and all that's in it, you know, all that's really working towards the bigger goal.
Absolutely. And you do a lot of work with the local colleges with apprenticeships and—
yes we take on work experience. So we do we've done work experience from schools as well, actually, but mainly EC College. I work closely with EC College. I'm very keen to see beauty therapists actually get in the salon, because it's very different than being at college. So it's great to have them in here and just looking around the salon, and I let them go and do like manicures on people and things, and all my clients are so supportive. They're happy to let them have a go. And that's actually how I got Lauren, because she was my work experience girl and she wowed me. So, yeah, I hunted her down and got her.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, so just goes to show that working closely with colleges can actually help you benefit your business long term and find you, you know, she's an amazing employee,
yeah,
honestly.
Absolutely. Are there any particular treatments that are your favourites, or any treatments that are really popular at the moment?
So we're very big on nails. We do a lot of nail art and some really cool nail art. So I'm looking forward to Halloween coming up and getting some really cool Halloween pumpkin and ghost nails. But for me personally, I would say we're really going into our brand of skincare quite heavily, and that's Nimue. It's a South African brand, and it's really great for anti-aging. So it's really working at plumping and hydrating the skin. We do a full skin consultation, talk you through everything, tell you what sort of treatments you could, you know, benefit it from in the salon, but also your home care as well is really important. There's no good having an amazing facial and then going home and washing your face with soap. You're undoing all our hard work. So we literally guide you through the whole stage of it. So yeah, we're very keen to help you with your skincare ranges and things like that. And massage is massive as well.
Yeah.
Relaxation. People are stressed, you know. Business owners are stressed. People are stressed. Mums are stressed. Dads are stressed.
And that's where you get all your good ideas from.
It is where I get all my good. So don't stop coming to Bridge Beauty for massage, because I need to have my good ideas keep flowing. So I love it. It's peace and quiet for me and for them. So it's lovely.
I love that. Have you got, so say for instance, someone was sat right here, right now, and mm-hmm. they were thinking about starting their own business, or they were thinking about going self-employed. Mm-hmm. Based on your incredible journey, what advice would you give to them? What would you say to them?
First of all, I'd say go for it. Absolutely go for it. I think I took the really long and slightly painful road to business. I think every business has its ups and downs. I do feel mine was incredibly slow. I think because I didn't have that initial startup loan, that injection of money that would have been, you know, really great. Obviously, I did have help from my parents when I initially started up, don't get me wrong. But that real surge of just being able to do it how you want from scratch. So it's an important lesson to learn that even if you can't do it, if you can't get a business loan, it's not impossible. You're just going to have to take that long, windy, bumpy road. But you still get there and you're still immensely proud. I mean, I'm probably more proud because I've done it that way. Yeah. But it's been harder. But I think if you can, I mean, surround yourself with business people, like-minded people. And I'm coming to that stage rather late in the game. I'm only just really engaging in networking, but I'm finding it already just a really good experience. Just the small amount of networking I've done is brilliant. So I definitely recommend get into networking, get into talking to people who run businesses, who own businesses, people who are more experienced than you, that you can learn from. I feel like I'm coming to my the head of it now, but if I could tell the old me, you know, go back to when I was 27, yeah. I would say throw yourself more into it. You know, don't be so frightened of taking up space. I think as a woman in business as well, I think the fear is to shrink yourself down and to downplay yourself. Even you said that to me, you know, when we first came in, that don't belittle you, you know, what you can give to people.
I think it's incredible. Yeah, you probably don't realize it.
Probably
but
not.
It's inspirational.
But I'm learning, yeah. and it's small things, like even your stature as a person, like, you know, don't shrink down. Don't try and be small. Take up space, put your shoulders back, be you, be determined, and talk to people. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Join things like the Federation of Small Businesses, you know, get a brilliant accountant, because, you know, having Diamond Accountant on my team, I've just literally flown with them because they've been there to help and support me. You know, when I went VAT registered, that was a moment I was absolutely petrified of.
Sure.
They sent me flowers to congratulate me. There was me like, oh my God, I'm VAT registered. I've got to pay a VAT bill every 3 months. They sent me a huge bouquet of flowers to my house to say, congratulations, Hannah, look how far you've come. You are VAT registered. So, you know, I think it's mindset, it's learning from other people and determination. Don't give up, because it will get hard. Trust me, it will definitely get hard. But open that business, make the move, expand, employ staff. It's worth it. It's hard work, but it's worth it.
Do you know what? That is the perfect kind of, that just sums up the entire show, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Hannah, I love your energy. I love your enthusiasm. And I just think your journey has been nothing short of inspirational. And we wish you guys the absolute best of luck.
Oh, you know, thank you.
Very quickly, although we're nearly out of time, what is next for Bridge Beauty?
Oh, I hate to say it, but probably a second salon.
Love it. Well, look, on that note, I'd recommend anyone pop down. They're in Chalmersford, or find them online, mm-hmm. find them on socials, check out what they're up to, because it is absolutely incredible. Hannah, you've been an amazing guest.
Oh, thank you, Matt. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And if you like that show, join me again next week. Bye for now.
Voice FM. Voice FM.
And don't put in your recycling bin dirty tins and dirty plastic bottles.
If any of your recycling is dirty, greasy or wet, your whole bin could be rejected. So follow this golden rule. Keep your recycling clean, dry and loose. And remember,
don't put in your recycling bin greasy pizza boxes.
This message is supported by Voice FM, and if you want to know more about recycling in Southampton, visit voicefmradio.co.uk/recycling.